let's do a little
four. One.
Element 115 essentially not existent.
Three. Four.
And he told police he was able to time travel because aliens filled his body with, you guessed it, alcohol.
Not the bears!
See?
Boys!
Pokemon, you gotta hear them all.
What? Excuse me? You gotta hear all the claps?
Isn't that what it is?
You gotta catch them all. You're thinking of gotta catch them all, I think?
Yeah, Ash Ketchum.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, after 10 years of being a 10-year-old, you'd think he'd finally grow up.
That's not how
he's 100 years old?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, he might as well be, because, well, first of all, I think he should consider a new career choice here, because he's been, what, a professional Pokemon trainer for 10 years, and he finally became champion, like, in 2020. It took him 10 years. Like, come on.
Well, he was what's
and you're the main character.
He was a
Pokemon
jabroni.
A thing when I was in middle school.
Oh, yeah, it's longer than 10 years, huh? So what, is it 20 years?
Yeah, it's 20 now, right?
It took you 20 years to become champion? Like, come on, dude.
Is he even champion yet, or?
He finally became champion, in the last year. I mean, man, I'm telling you, consider a different career choice, kid. You should have stayed in school. I don't know what to tell you.
He's got to be making a lot of money on endorsements, though, right?
Yeah, he's probably got a YouTube unboxing Pokemon video or something, too.
He's the best-known Pokemaster.
Well, you know, if Pokemon was any realistic, all of these trainers would have all, like, these elaborate suits with all their sponsors on them.
Yeah, they do. But they don't. There's the one with the R.
Would they be on the Pokeballs themselves, too? Would the Pokeballs have
the Pokeballs would be sponsored Pokeballs by different Pokeball manufacturers. Yep.
Yeah,
it's
Team
like
Rocket
without the racism.
Yeah, they'd be sponsored by like Pfizer and Amazon.
Yeah.
And, like all the really big bad companies.
Yeah.
Ash is just sponsored by like Professor Oak's Pokemart and you know the local sushi joint.
Yeah.
PETA would have a stake in it too.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
For
actually, PETA in the Pokemon universe. They're a lot more intense.
Oh, for sure.
Intense.
They're more of a Team Rocket.
Yeah, you know, they might throw paint on people wearing fur coats in our universe, but in your universe, they're opening all of your Pokeballs and letting your Pokemon free.
Yeah.
They probably just know. They'd break the Pokeball with the Pokemon in it, right? Isn't that their thing?
Yeah, they break
they'd
it.
They'd rather
smash
kill
it.
the pet than have someone keep it.
Than have it fight. Absolutely. Yeah. It's dark.
What's their default Pokemon? They would have something
No, they don't have any Pokemon. They have people dressed like Pokemon.
So you wouldn't be walking down like you know the long road near the tall grass, and it wouldn't be like trainer Peter member Pete wants to battle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except he would just
and
have.
And they would
weapons.
Have a hammer. Yeah. He had a hammer in his hand.
Ready to smash your Pokeballs.
Just smashing your Pokeballs. He's like, I don't care if that's a Master Ball. I'm smashing the shit out of it.
Yeah. That's
I don't care
and
if
there's
you
always
found
like
that.
Six of them.
Mm.
Yeah, right.
They're like like Diglets, except instead of in the ground, they're in like a van.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a van trio or something like that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The evolve the whatever the final form is has a private jet.
It's final evolution.
It's the final evolution of the PETA.
Oh, that's
my
great.
Universe.
So anyways, welcome
to Beastie Boys.
Mm.
No relation.
We could have a nice smooth transition from this sliver of Japanese culture to another sliver or several other slivers of Japanese culture. How does that feel?
I'm down for that.
I'm into it.
I mean there are ghost Pokemon. Literally the
Gengar, right?
Yeah,
yep.
Ghastly,
and
Haunter,
but then
Gengar.
There's the whole Cubone sub-story.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
Where you're searching for Marowak, its ghostly mother.
Oh,
dead mother
yeah.
That's been crying out for
that's
years.
That's whose skull he's wearing, too, isn't it? Isn't
yeah,
that
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Skull?
Oh, my God.
Cubone wears the skull of its mother as a helmet. It's very, very sad.
Dude, the first...
culture is very spooky.
The first generation of Pokemon were so hardcore when you look back on it. Like, you got
Hell
Cubone...
Yeah.
Wearing, you know, like the dead skull of its mother. You got Pokemon
Squirtle.
That are literally, no, but you got like Pokemon that are like literally spooky ghosts, right?
Yeah.
You got like Drowsy who like hypnotizes you and enters your dreams and like feeds on your dreams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then you look at the newer generations and they're like, here's a Pokemon that's an ice cream cone. Get out of here.
I love Licklet.
Oh, we know how Mitch feels.
I like that stance. I love that stance.
The old ones were cool though. What was the coughing one?
Coughing and K-O-F-F-I-N-G.
That's this, right. Yeah.
His evolution was wheezing, wasn't it?
Wheezing.
Yeah. Yes.
So good.
Little known fact, coughing was actually based on Franz Kafka.
What?
Fun fact.
Is that how much truth is behind that fact?
I use words.
Okay. Words can be facts.
I suppose that's as much truth as you need these days.
They're all real words involved.
Yeah. So anyways, Japanese ghosts is what we're talking about today, guys.
Yeah, Japanese ghosts and video games. Those both tie into my subject for today a little bit.
Oh, okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Cool. So if we want to take a little bit of a jump to another Japanese video game, we can talk about Mario. And a lot of people probably know more about Mario than they do the subject that I'm about to talk about, which is called Tsukumogami. Or spirit tools.
Ooh,
so
hell yeah.
They are, that's how it's directly translated, spirit tools. Mm. And there are tools like that have got their own spirit, basically. So haunted objects, as opposed to a real life being. But they also have been known to inhibit the spirits of animals. And mostly throughout the Japanese culture, the animals that they sort of embody are tanuki, which some people might know from Mario universe, right? Super Mario World 3, or no, Super 3, Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
It's in Super Mario World, and it continues. There's the appearance of a tanuki, and Mario can become a tanuki, and he flies and he attacks his opponents with his spinning tail, right? And he can shapeshift into a statue.
Yep.
People that don't know, too, the tanuki is like a raccoon dog. I don't know if some people don't know that, but...
Yeah, I'm not there yet, okay? I'm not fucking there yet.
Oh, shit, sorry.
But also, like, there's a super leaf, right, which turns him into the raccoon, is, right, like Jarvis said, a raccoon dog. So tanuki is a type of... It's specifically a Japanese raccoon dog, and it, like, is this cute... You know, it looks like a raccoon. It's a little bit skinnier. Not here present in the Americas, but...
Tom Nook.
Yeah, Tom Nook is another thing.
He's a raccoon.
But more specifically, the leaf is like a symbol of this sort of inanimate object that embodies the spirit of a Tsukumogami. Tsukumogami. And it's a super leaf in these games. It gives him ears and he flies and he's got tail attacking abilities. Mm-hmm. But like, the power-up is based on the mythology of spirit tools and the tanuki that uses leaves to, like, help transform themselves. So basically, within the culture, any inanimate object that has been around for 100 years gets its own spirit.
Mm.
Like,
oh, cool.
And this dates back to, like, the 700 and 800s when this, like, first sort of started. But there's been so many stories, like, from then until now that... The lines have become incredibly blurred, and basically what it breaks down to is objects that live for, like, more than 100 years or around for more than 100 years, they get their own spirits, and they can sort of, like, these spirits can embody different things, and most of the time it's an object, but sometimes it's an animal, and it's usually a tanuki, right? So, like, there's all these different objects that in the culture end up getting thrown away or, like, discarded before they reach 100 years because it's a bit of a superstition. Most of the time the objects are like relatively fun in nature and they're gonna like pull pranks is how they it goes in culture, you know. So but then sometimes there's like more spooky tales, you know, like there's like futons. There's stories of futons being embodied by spirits, right? Because you have a bed and it's sort of around for a long time. It's something that you get. And they will eat people. The futons the stories of these futons, like, eating people. Yeah. Or there are demon mirrors that make you look like your worst nightmare.
Ooh.
And one of the most fun ones that I found was, like, these umbrellas and they're like super prominent in anime in Japanese culture and in art. There's something that like kids doodle a lot, but like basically it's an umbrella that or a paper umbrella, right? And it usually has like one eyeball.
Sometimes
it will grow limbs. It'll have like one leg, maybe two arms, and it basically tricks you into using it during like a storm, and it will whisk you up into the sky and like basically kill you, right? So it finds these it tricks people to using it on a windy day, so it just like pulls you up into the sky. And
how nefarious.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's but like most of them are like harmless, and they say that they pull like little pranks. So you know when you like leave the house and you could have sworn you shut all of your windows, but they're all open. That is a spirit tool. Like, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. It makes you feel a little bit paranoid, and that is how that has been described within this culture. But the thing that I find most interesting about these, like all these stories, you know, is like I said, there are stories from like the 700s is like, there's so much more history behind these spirits than there are like the ghosts that we're familiar with here in the Americas.
Yeah,
right? You might have things that date back to like, you know, Native American Indians and stuff, but a lot of the time it's like colonial or even like you're talking about stuff that happened in like the 1900s. Someone died in a train station in 1910 and they've like haunted the locomotives there for the last 110 years. It's so much different than like this sort of story that's been told and retold for like thousands of years at this point, you know? And so I think it's very interesting how it gets as silly as like an umbrella that is going to whisk you away to your death. But at the same time, like if you're superstitious enough, and, you know, you see an umbrella on the side of the street, maybe it's raining out, you're not going to pick up that umbrella. Because it's it looks a little bit old. It's been around for 100 years, and it's gonna kill you.
The umbrella too is so relevant in Japan, being like a tropical island. It rains at least once a day in the summertime and stuff. So it's kind of funny to think that there's a group of people over there that are like terrified of umbrellas. You know, because you walk into any store over there and there's always like a take one, leave one umbrella rack, like in every single store. So it's funny to think like someone could walk into that and just be absolutely terrified of this friggin' box of umbrellas. It's kind of funny.
One's tattered and looks like it was bought, you know, in like sub underground shop.
I want to watch
mystical writing in the handle. Yeah, that's a good movie.
It's really interesting that like, it seems like Japan, they kind of put ghosts into objects, like you said, and over here we look at more of like a human ghost, you know?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
We don't have as much like haunted. Sometimes it's haunted. I guess like Annabelle could be considered a haunted item. Object. But our ghost stories are, more formulated around someone being murdered or someone who is just stuck at one place in time. You know?
Yeah, I want more haunted stuff.
Yeah.
If it's 100 years old, right, does the like spirit come out of it based on the age, or does a spirit inhabit that item once it reaches the age? Because I feel like
it becomes its own spirit.
Our shit, like
once
Jarvis
it's
was
reached 100 years, it, yeah.
All our shit is a ghost that it
no,
inhabits
you're right,
something,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely, right.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really cool.
So it reminds me of, I heard a theory once when it comes to ghosts and, like, why a lot of the ghosts that we always see are, like John said, like, colonial or Victorian era, right? I heard somebody, take with a grain of salt, but they proposed the theory that since ghosts are theoretically tied to energy, and that energy, technically, when it's not being used, kind of just dissipates over time and, like, goes in all different directions.
We talked about this.
Right? Yeah. Basically, the idea was as a ghost gets older, it starts to lose a lot of its energy and kind of just, you know, dissipates. And that's why you only really see ghosts around here from like the colonial era or the Victorian era. Because, like, even in like Europe and stuff, you don't really hear a lot of ghosts of like ghost stories of like, oh, yeah, I was in the fields today, and I came across this ancient Roman centurion ghost.
Right.
You know? Right? You don't hear stuff like that. So, And eventually the energy just gets spread out over time to the point where, like, the ghost, even if it's still around, can't, like, materialize or whatever. But on the flip side, if you're thinking of it, like, contained within an object, right, then think of it as in, you know, like a bottle of water, right? That water, even when it turns into water vapor, right, even if that's if that bottle's tight enough, that water vapor is not going to go anywhere. You know, it's going to stay in the bottle. Mm-hmm. So
there you go. It's a longer lasting spirit.
Yeah, in a sense. So that
right.
could be a reasonable explanation for that.
Or a way to contain the spirit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like the traps the Ghostbusters use.
More exactly. or less, yeah. Same basic principle.
I looked into the trap, Ray.
Don't look in the trap.
Oh. Yeah, so that's cool. Those man, we could, that's like a rabbit hole. I would love to dive deeper into.
A raccoon hole, but yeah, I agree.
A raccoon hole, yeah, tanuki hole.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's my story for the week. You got any questions?
did you get into anything about how, like, the tanuki, like, they turn to stone type of thing? Because I know in Mario, he turned to stone when he stood still. And I know that's, like, kind of like a theme that goes through the tanuki, where, like, turning to stone as, like,
it's another theme
mechanism.
Too, right?
Yeah, but that, I mean, really, that doesn't really have much to do with Tsukumo Gami.
Mm. Okay, so
it has to do with like, the tanuki and the lore of it, which... Yeah, but if you want to go on Amazon and look for some great statues with maybe big balls or small balls on said tanuki statue,
I want to know. I want Shigeru Miyamoto on the phone. And I want to ask him why the leaf grant Mario.
Yeah.
I want to know why the leaf did not grant Mario large balls.
Yeah. And also,
if I
don't
use those balls
Google
to fly,
big ball tanuki.
Although, you know what I just thought of? Was, all right, so in Mario 3 with the tanuki suit, he doesn't use, like, his balls to fly or anything or like that. He spins his tail.
Which he should.
But,
right. Missed opportunity.
If you guys remember Super Mario World, right? When he gets the cape, right?
Yeah.
He can spin.
The way he flies with the cape is he pulls it over his back, right?
Yep.
And
yes.
he like
very
bounces
similar.
On it, which is very similar to how the tanukis fly with their ball sacks. So
that is correct. They would stretch out their scrotums to use sort of like a paraglider type of
scenario.
Like a sugar glider.
Yes.
And I don't like that they neglected the balls in the third one, but it feels like, based on Mitch, what you just said, that because 3 was a big deal and they were going to make it, you know, like, wider audience. Super Mario 3 is in the movie The Wizard. It's like a big deal.
Yes, it was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge push
for an American audience, movie. They make him fly by doing the helicopter instead
yeah.
of.
Yes.
So they sacrifice.
Just like Tails.
Japanese culture for it's the American.
Like interesting.
That's the only
Although I would have been cool if they just brought the balls over here and like made his sack flat. I mean, I could see why American audiences couldn't take that.
Yeah, it
kind of
makes
so
sense
that.
For a kid's game that they left that part out, but I don't know. That's
game for kids.
That's just me. Yeah.
Like what Mitch was saying, well, there's only a couple pixels missing, and then that's essentially in the game.
Yeah, that's essentially
right?
in Super Mario World. So,
you just have to like puff out his overalls a little at the bottom a little more, and then. Yeah.
Oh my god!
No, my umbrella stinks.
Good old tanukis.
Mm.
So that's cool. Yeah. Sweet spirit tools. I'm into that. That's
Thank
rad.
You, spirit
I,
tools.
I don't,
get haunted things.
I'm trying to think. My story doesn't have any spirit tools in it.
Well, you're transitioning nicely either way, so that's
So we'll jump into my story next. I did. Sorry, let me pull it up real quick. I'm an idiot. So the name of the story is Bancho Sarias Shikiri. Please pardon my pronunciations.
Hips don't lie.
I'm gonna butcher most of it. So the story I chose to kind of dive into is about a woman and her plates. And this story, I'm sure you all have come across the Americanized version of this, The Ring. With the girl in the well and who haunts people. It's all based on this story. This story has been changed like zillions of times since it was first told, which was Do I have a date here? It looks like 1741 was the first time the story was told. And so what I'm going to do, I want to just jump right into it. I'm going to read you guys the story. It's not very long, but it's pretty interesting, to say the least. And you can definitely, you'll see some of the parallels of where the kind of the haunted well and the black-haired lady and all that stuff kind of derives from this story. So I will start. This story, it's called Okiku. This is the adaptation of that story. And excuse me, to start, Okiku was the name of a servant girl who lost a precious plate. I'm sorry, I'm reading the synopsis here. Let me get into the legend. Here's the legend. Long ago, there was a woman named Okiku who worked as a dishwashing servant at Himeji Castle. Am I pronouncing that right, Mitch?
Himeji?
Yeah. Okiku was a very beautiful, and it was not long before she caught the eye of one of her master's retainers, a samurai named Aoyama tried many times to seduce Okiku, but each time she rejected his advances. Eventually, Oyama grew impatient with Okiku and decided to trick her into becoming his lover. In the castle, there was a set of 10 very expensive dishes. Oyama hid one of them and then called for Okiku. He told her one of his master's fine dishes was missing and demanded to know where it was. Okiku became frightened. Losing one of her lord's prized dishes was a crime punishable by death. She counted the dishes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. She recounted them again and again. Each time she came up one short. Okiku was distraught. Oyama told Okiku that he would overlook her mistake and tell his master that it wasn't Okiku who lost the dish, but only if she would become his mistress.
This came back from a search.
Oh, my phone's trying to talk to me. Tells his master that it wasn't Okiku who lost the dish, but only if she would become his mistress. Though Okiku wanted to live, she once again refused Oyama. This time, the samurai became furious. He ordered her servants to beat Okiku with a wooden sword, which is brutal. Afterwards, he had her tied up and suspended over the castle well. He tortured Okiku, repeatedly dunking her head into the well, only to pull her back out to the water and beat her himself. Oyama demanded one last time that Okiku become his mistress. She refused. So Oyama struck her violently with his sword and dropped her body down into the well. Not long after, Okiku's ghost was seen wandering the castle grounds night after night. She would rise from the well and enter her master's house, searching for the missing dish. She would count the plates, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. After counting the ninth plate, she would let out a blood-curdling scream that would be heard throughout the castle. She tormented Oyama in this way every night, robbing him of his rest. Those who heard part of Akiko's counting became very sick, and those unlucky enough to hear her count all the way to 9 died shortly after. Finally, the lord of the castle decided that something had to be done about Akiko's ghost. He called a priest and asked him to pray for her and exorcise her spirit. The priest waited in the garden all night, chanting sutras. Once again, Okiku's ghost rose out of the well. She began to count the dishes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. As soon as Okiku counted the ninth dish, and before she could scream, the priest shouted, 10! Okiku's ghost appeared, relieved, and someone had found the missing dish. From then on, she never haunted the castle again.
Oh, what?
It was that easy. Yeah. It was that easy.
That's
awesome. If only Naomi Watts figured that out in the ring, she might not have been.
Can you imagine
the 9 and the screaming?
Yeah. All the people that died.
Real quick, a little.
All the people that got sick.
Or got sick.
That was all it took?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Just say 10 right when she said 9.
You would think someone would have known the second run through after you gotten really sick the first time and almost died. Then you're there, you can hear her count because that's how you fucking, you know, you're like 8.
But yeah, once again, like really, like, I mean, not so much a haunted object, but kind of an object that
within the story that's important
made someone haunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So having all those plates,
an obsession.
Really fucked with her. And you can totally, just by reading this, you can totally see the parallels with the ring, with the
for sure.
The 7 days, the girl in the well, making people sick. That type of stuff. And obviously, even, it's been readapted.
But. Even with the ring, going back to the spirit tools and everything else, right? That's about a haunted... yeah. So
haunted VHS tape.
Yeah, so yeah. There you go with the, you know, the gap being bridged and the ideas coming together. Is shows you how much more interconnected all these cultural stories actually are when you start digging into them. Interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I didn't even think of that with the VHS tape.
Mm.
It's like they took a part of their culture and melded it into the story. It's pretty fascinating.
Mm.
But yeah, so there's hundreds of versions of this. It's been done in plays. It's been done in mangas. What's the name of their the plays over there? What do they call it?
Kabuki.
Starts with a B. Kabuki, yeah.
Yeah, Kabuki theater.
There's been Kabuki plays about it. It's a pretty interesting story, and you can see it's still kind of, with the ring, it's still kind of like permeating pop culture now.
Yeah, yeah.
The story of this woman who kept turning down being a mistress, which is kind of brutal, but also it kind of shows you that Japanese, like the domination of men and women in Japan and kind of how like... It's the servient end of how they look at relationships. It's interesting.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot there culturally to unpack.
I never saw the movie. How does it get? How does she get tied in with the VHS? Like, how do they trap that?
I don't think they ever talk about that. They just find the tape. Yeah, like the movie starts with like a bunch of teenagers watching the tape and then ending up dead. I don't think they ever went into the origin of how she went into the well. I never saw the later movies. I never saw the sequels or the.
I've only
the
ever
new
seen
one that
the
came
first
out a couple
one.
Years ago.
It sounds like it's based on the same ghost, right? So theoretically, you could say that this was a tortured soul that ended up in the well. But now there's a videotape of the ghost, and then somehow that carries her curse with it.
Mm.
Yeah, I've never seen them. That's what I'm asking. That's a question.
Yeah. It's totally.
Yeah, if you watch the video, you are then haunted by Samara. Is her name, I believe.
Yes, Samara.
And
yep.
She Tia will...
and Samara. I like that show.
She comes through the TV and she haunts you, and she.
Yeah, you die 7 days after viewing.
After you watch it, yeah.
It's a. I mean, I remember being kind of terrified watching that movie when I was younger, when it came out.
Same.
I don't know if it still holds up. I haven't watched it in a long time, but it's a good movie. It's worth a watch. Naomi Watts is really good in it. She's good at being scared, which is cool. But yeah, so that's my story of Akiku, which is...
and he's sticking to it.
Yeah, I'm sticking to it. I just thought it was really interesting. Like,
it is cool. Nice, vengeful story.
Yeah, but it's so weird, just like plates. Like, why would plates?
Yeah, man, imagine being that mad over a plate that you kill somebody because it goes missing. That dude's an asshole. All right?
He may go missing.
But he was also upset that she wouldn't bang him. Like, and be.
Well, yeah, you know.
Wait, he did it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't the guy break the plate? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the guy. I'm talking about the guy, not the ghost.
The samurai.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, that dude's just a fucking prick. Like, imagine
yeah,
being
well, it's not the
so
plate.
Upset
trying,
that a damn plate went missing.
Yeah, no, he was trying to manipulate her. He made the plate go missing. He took the plate away on
so
purpose.
He could threaten her with...
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that part of the story. Yeah. All right.
So he could threaten her with, like, the shame of losing a plate that he actually lost.
Oh,
himself. You are. Lost on purpose.
What a double asshole, then.
Yeah.
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 But you're also correct.
Yeah,
because
then he was beating her because of that.
Yeah.
Like, but the law did exist.
Yeah. That guy was a piece of shit. Yeah. That was a shitty samurai. Talk about not living by the Bushido code.
Yeah, yeah.
It is not just him, because the law did exist, and it was punishable by death. So before this asshole even assholed, someone wrote down on paper that, yo, if you lose one of the plates, death.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he should have died.
Yeah, because he lost it himself.
Good point.
Poor innocent girl, Okiku. Poor girl. Mm. Which also, I forgot to add this in, her name translates to chrysanthemum.
Oh, okay.
Chrysanthemum.
Absolutely
which
beautiful.
Which is a very pretty flower. You see it in a lot of Japanese artwork.
Mm.
Christine Anthemum. Was that the name of the ghost in America? Christine Anthemum?
Yeah, Christine Anthemum.
No, isn't, that's a super popular OnlyFans page, right?
I don't know, I think so. But I'm looking it up.
It was on the front page the other day, maybe.
Well, okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I don't go to that site.
Maybe, I don't know. I wouldn't know, but I'm pretty sure it was trending on OnlyFans. But I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
That's where Mitch found his house painter.
Yeah, for sure.
OnlyFans house painting services.
Yeah, guys, pressure washing and house painting in one.
I don't think that's the same pressure washing you think it is.
Speaking of OnlyFans, I found other kinds of ghosts in Japan.
Oh boy!
Wow, good transition.
That was smooth, solid. Dude.
No, it has nothing to do with it. But you know, I use real words. I found two neat ones. So first, I want to give a shout out to this website you guys might have seen when you were looking stuff up. It's called Yokai, YOKAI.com.
Yep,
and this dude, Matt, put together like a compendium of all these Japanese ghost stories. So this is what I was peeking through instead of Wikipedia, which is normally my go-to. First searching stuff out.
This website was really good, Mike. I got super neat.
And he's got books that I'm going to check out. I think he just released his third one. He's got a Patreon where you can throw him $1 a month or like $10 and you get a postcard in the mail. And there's like these cool, illustrated, like all these old Japanese style illustrations to go with the story, which
I thought
were extra appealing.
What's his name? Matthew Meyer. Let's give him a plug. Matthew Meyer is his name.
Yokai.com. Y-O-K-A-I. And I'm jealous of the width and breadth that Japan seems to have culturally, especially for neat things like spooky ghosts, because these are all things that, like, I never even would have, if you had me write down like all the ghosts that I could think of, I never would have pieced this stuff together. It's like Pokemon. I wouldn't have combined those two things.
Pockets and monsters? What the?
Yeah. Over here it was just pocket pool and you got in trouble for it. So the first brand of ghost or offshoot of spook that I found is called the Fudukeshi. K-A-E-S-H-I. How do I pronounce that, man?
Okay.
K-A-E-S-H-I?
H-I.
K-A-E.
Fudukeshi.
Yeah, Keishi. Keishi.
Fudukeshi.
Fudukeshi.
So Fuda means charm, and Fudukeshi means charm ripper. And the idea of this ghost is it will, like the spirit tools John was talking about, how some of them are tricksters and they will trick you into using them for your disadvantage. This ghost tries to trick you into removing your ghost protection. So because ghosts, I guess, are so part of the culture. I mean, I guess it's here too. People burn sage and shit, even if they don't have any traditions. They'll try and go through the process because we want to feel that kind of cultural connection to something, whether we have it or not. And I guess for good luck or for protection, you have charms and spells, like the Vikings had runes. So as part of the culture, there's a story about this ghost or these type of ghosts that would specifically try and trick you into getting rid of that thing, so that they can then have access to you for one reason or another. So it's just like someone with a gun and they see you have a bulletproof vest on and then they're like, hey man, isn't that vest heavy? Wow, you look tired. You'd be like, hey, you have a gun. I'm not taking this off. You're like, oh, this isn't a gun.
I'm sure you're getting sweaty under that bulletproof vest.
The only reason I have this gun is because you have that vest on. You take the vest off, I'm getting rid of it.
What a sneaky ghoul.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that. And I guess this, there's a big story that they kind of talk about called the Tale of the Peony Lantern. Peony Lantern? Mm-hmm. I think peony's a flower, if that's what this is.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is a flower.
And this particular story, I guess, is the most popular for this ghost. And it was kind of like sad rather than spooky, because the ghost falls in love with the dude, and eventually she gets him to remove his protection so that she spends the night with him, but she sucks his life out, and then he dies.
Ooh.
And I couldn't find anything.
How does she suck his life out?
Hey, that's none of my business what goes on behind the show G screen. So that was Tragiat. I couldn't find anything, like, anybody elaborating how, because my mind wanted to be hopeful when I read this. I was like, oh, well, he's dead, and now they could be together in the ghost world, tricking poor motherfuckers into taking their charms off. But I thought that was neat, and that was my focus when I was looking up these things. Because the other one that I picked is called Supon no Yure, if I said that right. And this is a soft-shell turtle ghost. And the idea behind this ghost is that these turtles that you've eaten in, like, turtle soup or a turtle dish come back for revenge.
Hell yeah.
So Supon is the word for the Chinese soft-shell turtle. And then turtles, you know, like, they'll bite and not let go. So they have a reputation for, like, that kind of, like, tenacity and that kind of grudge holding. And this is like Tanuki or a Kitsune, which I think is a fox.
But Kitsune is a fox spirit.
Yep.
So another mythological animal within the Japanese culture, and it has powerful abilities. They're also, like, long living. So, you know, if something reaches 100 years and then a ghost can inhabit it, that might be something that causes them to take on these powers. And then when I was looking on this site and then other ones for kind of the origins, there was a lot of people talking about that it might be because of the age of the turtle that they took on powers. It might be like the vengeful ghost because you ate them and you're trying to get them. There were a few stories. One that they talk about on yokai.com was a man who made his living by catching and selling the turtles. They were so pissed at him, all these turtles that he was killing, because it was his livelihood, that eventually they all manifested as a takanyudo, over 30 meters tall. So, like, this giant demon turtle embodiment of all the turtles that he wronged.
That's awesome.
So you think about, like, commercial fishermen and shit, and, like, or like somebody in
hundreds
the,
of thousands of
yes, like, if you showed up one day to your meat packing plant and then there was this turkey that was bigger than the whole plant, like, black smoke coming out of its eyes, like, you must finally pay for your sins. This is like if you gave PETA control of the Earth simulation. That's the kind of
might come up. And it would just be monsters of meat that attacked
just
us.
Just eating people, and then there'd be no people left. Yeah. Then that's the end of our story for everyone. So I thought that was super cool. There was another story that I read where there were these dudes that were eating at a restaurant, the supon, the turtle dish, and they noticed as they kept eating that the guy that was serving them looked like a turtle. So they started getting weird, like, freaked out. And then they eventually ran out of the place. And then it specified that for not one, not two, but 3 days, they were so scared and ashamed they didn't leave their house after this. And then then they, like, took it upon themselves to not eat turtle again. We get all freaked out. So because of these stories, like I said before, there are people that were trying to, like, well, what was the point? What's, like, the moral? Because we don't have the summary Aesop fable for a lot of these. So just like most religious texts, you have to kind of pull out using your own lens what you think they're trying to say within the story.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's where the back and forth came in. It's like, oh, well, maybe it was to keep people from eating turtles, or maybe I read one take that this was like an overindulgence thing, like a cautionary tale why you shouldn't eat so much at, like, Thanksgiving, because the spirit of what you're consuming might come to punish you.
AKA farts, right?
I like turtles. If you're eating a lot of farts.
Hey, what are you dressed as today, Mike?
I like turtles.
I like turtles.
I like turtles.
You make a great zombie.
I love that kid. bless that kid.
Yep.
One of the many legendary viral videos.
I love the idea of a turtle monster. Like,
yeah,
1,000 soft shell turtles, which are like bizarre looking animals. As
they have like the pig snouts,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Right. Right. They're I believe their heads do not go in their shells, right? They're just like sort of they're weird, like amorphous looking, and
they are
slimy looking. And so like a big pile of them that's like a humanoid shape just like going around like a big old kaiju
eating people up and
fucking them up. I love that so
forming
much.
Forming up like Voltron.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is what's Godzilla's one of his kaiju is a giant turtle, isn't it?
No, it's not Godzilla.
Gamora,
it's a contemporary.
Right?
It's a contemporary of Godzilla. So it's like a rival series, Gamera.
Gamera.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Sodom and Gamora.
Yeah, like a giant
Godzilla
turtle.
And Gamera.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right next door for me.
Godzilla's the sexiest of all the kaijus.
I like Mothra.
I don't know. Those are fighting words.
Yeah, I like Mothra too. I was going to say Mothra. Yeah.
Really? Mothra?
Mothra comes with the singing twins. And it's the kaiju most resembling of Mothman.
Thank you.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Mothman really gets me heated up.
Mm. You
know? Which is, that's a topic I would love to cover on this show. BT dubs.
Someday.
We'll go find him. Try and summon him.
Yeah.
All right, Mitch, take us home.
All right,
our resident Japanese expert.
Look at this guy. He's got his black book and everything.
So I got a tome of arcane lore.
He's got Bruce Lee on his shirt.
That I was gifted to many years ago by a neighbor that is no longer with us. So,
you got a dead man's book?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah,
for maximum spook value. So, the story I will be sharing with you today is called The Wife's Revenge, and it's got some nice artwork that I'm going to show you guys.
Oh, yeah. That's wicked spooky. I love it.
Okay. So, without further ado, in Japan, there once lived a man who, by his vicious actions, made his wife into a ghost. The man's name was Iemon. His wife was Oiwa, and his motive was that he desired another woman. Oiwa, barely risen from childbed, was given poison by her husband, which caused her hair to fall out in bloody handfuls, her eyes to start from their sockets, and her pretty mouth to blacken. All through this ordeal, Iemon snared, then he thrust her from him. In despair, she killed herself and her infant. Iemon felt no remorse. Now he was free to do as he wished, or so he thought. He soon found that his deed had a terrifying price. With a ghoul's fury, Waiwa appeared to him everywhere. If he sought peace in a tea house, the lanterns, gaily painted in human likeness, assumed the staring eyes of Oiwa, and mouth curses at him. If he walked in the garden, he would find her there. So here's some nice artwork. So over here you can kind of see like the lantern, and then there she is walking in the garden.
There's something about Japanese art, like they draw the eyes so creepy.
Yeah.
Like that lantern's eyes are very creepy. Mm, dead eyes.
There's also something about Mitch.
And she would be walking with her infant.
Me the pictures.
Mm. Her bitter accusations ceaselessly sounded in his ears. Defiant, Iemon married his paramour, thinking that the ghost might realize the futility of further haunting. But when he lifted his lover's bridal veil over their wedding, the face looking back at him was Oiwa's. Howling, he drew his sword and beheaded the specter. And then Iemon discovered Oiwa's final revenge. He had murdered his bride, not the ghost. So,
hell yeah.
Here you have him at his wedding, drawing his sword. There's his bride, and then there's the ghost with her, you know, her hair's falling out, and her spooky mouth. And
her head's still attached, though.
Yes. Well, he hasn't cut it down yet, right? So.
Oh, look.
No.
Yeah. Oh, dude, what?
It looked like he was at the end of his swing. It might have just been a clean cut. It hadn't slid off.
No, he cut his wife's head off. He's not at the end of his swing, because if you look, right, because the Japanese have an eye for detail, right, is that the you can make out the bladed part of his katana is downwards facing, so he's going with, like, an upward strike.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So, which brings me, so that's the end of this short story, but the interesting thing about this story and many others is that a lot of Japanese ghosts seem to be women. You don't really find a lot of stories about male Japanese ghosts. I mean, there are some, granted, but a lot of the times, the most famous ones, like, for instance, The Girl in the Well is about a woman. This one is about a woman. There's another rather well-known ghost in Japan that's called the Yuki no Onna, which is, it translates to, like, the snow maiden. And that is a ghost of winter who is also a woman. If you recall, when we were talking about the Dragon's Triangle, I told you that story about how the fishermen out on in the Dragon's Triangle would report seeing a ghostly woman tending a ship. So, in a way, I think there's something that's interesting about that, in that there's such a cultural thing associated with the ghost of women in Japan. And I really don't know what to make of that at the end of the day, but yeah. It's just an interesting anecdote that I found.
I know what
stories.
I make of it.
Oh, ho.
I think we need to smash the ghost matriarchy.
I'm all for it.
Let's all commit suicide right now. Together.
Seppuku?
Sudoku.
Sudoku, yes. Let's commit Sudoku.
Yeah. Let's solve a complicated number puzzle and give me a migraine for multiple days.
Mitch, do you think that that has to do with just the hierarchy of, like, Japanese, like, just kind of how women
were? I think it might, but the interesting thing is, as someone who's studied a lot of Japanese history and also a lot of Chinese history, is China was far more patriarchal than Japan at the time, but you don't really see nearly the same amount of, like, in Chinese ghosts, there's a lot more of an equal distribution. Whereas, due to Confucianism and, you know, the patriarchal system ingrained in that, whereas with Japan, you see an overemphasis on female ghosts, which, again, I don't know what quite to make of that, but it's interesting. And it still continues to this day, because I think I was telling you guys about the, I'm blanking on her name, but there's a Japanese ghost that, modern day ghost that you supposedly can encounter in Japan, and she wears a surgical mask, and she was a essentially, the story goes that she was like the bride of either a samurai or of a businessman who thought she was being unfaithful, so he cut her mouth up and killed her. And what'll happen supposedly is, on the streets of Japan, when you're all alone, you know, when you turn that corner and go down like that, you know, when you're trying to cut through the street, turn down that corner, go down that alleyway that you're not supposed to be in, or, you know, maybe it's like late in the day and the streets aren't that busy, this ghost will approach you, especially if you're a male, and she'll ask you if you find her attractive, right? And she'll have her mask on.
Yeah, I remember this.
Right? And then you know, you'll answer like yes or no. If you answer no, we'll save that for a little bit. But, you know, if you answer yes, then what she'll do is she'll take her surgical mask off to show you her brutally scarred, cut-open mouth. And she'll ask, you know, you again, do you find me attractive? And if you answer no, or if you answer yes to either question, she'll kill you. Because if you answer yes, she'll think that you're lying. And if you answer no, then you're telling her that she's ugly. She's offended.
You're offending
her. Exactly. Right? But so
there's a very specific way she kills you, though.
Yeah, so she kills you with a pair of scissors, which supposedly is the same instrument that was used to scar her mouth. So apparently, this is kind of going along the lines of like what Mike said, where you know, you got these tricky ghosts, like ones who want you to take your ghost protection amulet off, right? Or here's a ghost that's pretty much asking you a question where there's no right answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently the way to save yourself from this ghost, should you ever encounter it. So listen up, people, if you ever plan on traveling to Japan, because this is useful information. Supposedly, the way to save yourself from this ghost is when she asks if you find her attractive, you don't give her a straight answer. You have to answer something like, well, maybe, or...
Yeah, or what is attractiveness?
Yeah, what actually is attractiveness these days? Or, yeah, or yeah, give her something sort of like a, you know, sort of, or, you know, something like that. So you kind of got to, like, beat around the bush in order to get yourself to safety.
Yeah.
So...
It also says you can distract her with money and hard candies, too.
Oh.
I'm reading.
Well, I mean, to be fair...
interesting.
I would be distracted by that as well, so...
I was going to say, sounds too. A lot like Mitch.
Yeah.
by the way, the name is Kuchisaki Ona.
Kuchisaki Ona, yes.
Well,
okay, there you go.
Yeah. The slit-mouthed woman.
Yep, the slit-mouthed woman.
That is... that story's awesome.
Yeah.
it's super spooky. If you go on the Wikipedia page, there's a conversation diagram of the way the conversation can go with her.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's actually kind of funny to look at. If you guys check it out, it's small. It's only a couple yes or no answers, but
and is that
it's pretty
the,
interesting. It's cool.
The thrash band got its name.
Who? Chelsea Grin?
No, Slipmouth.
Slipmouth.
Yeah, that's a long way to go, but.
Oh my god.
is. How old is this story, Mitch?
That
you said it's more modern.
It's a
right?
more modern tale, but it has elements, though, like if you think about it, of all the other kind of stuff that we've talked about, right?
Yeah.
Kind of showing how all that is still very, very common in Japanese urban legend and stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. you have the ghost of, you know, a disgraced woman, kind of like. You know, who was betrayed by her husband, kind of, or her potential lover, like in Jarvis's story or mine, right?
Yep.
You have the trickster nature of it, which is similar to Mike's stories, right? And then you even have that association with the object, with a pair of scissors, for instance, and the surgical mask, like you have with the spirit tools that John was talking about. So you can kind of see how all these ideas kind of start to come full circle even to this day in a lot of these stories.
And there's a couple really different ways you could take the male-female thing, because if the ghost stories are on some level supposed to be like a cautionary tale or to keep you from doing a certain behavior or engaging in a certain activity, then the proclivity of them to put a scorned female in the role of the ghost might be, you know, like in a glass half full view, a way to keep guys from being douchebags. You know, even if it's just out of fear, if you want someone to behave, keep them afraid and be like, yo, I'm not going to kill my wife and child because she might be a girl, rather than just doing it for good reasons.
My fucking wife. Now,
go for it.
Sorry, what were you going to say, Mike?
I love you. Go for it.
Oh, I was going to say, so is the Chelsea Grin affiliated with this, or is that something?
Yeah, so the
separate?
Chelsea Grin is...
Or the Glasgow Smile.
Yeah,
right,
the Glasgow Smile is... It's all the same thing. It's just different terms for, like, the same thing.
Okay.
That's been, like a torture or execution method where they cut your, you know, from ear to ear for like hundreds of thousands. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Right? They call it the Black Dahlia.
The Joker.
Smile. Yep, exactly.
The Latin Kings out in Springfield, Mass, that's their initiation every Halloween, is they cut a smile into someone's face. That's how they get initiated into the Latin Kings.
Yeah.
Which is truly terrifying, and you should never visit Springfield because that city sucks.
Yeah.
It's how many people
reveal.
With cut open faces?
Yeah, yeah, don't go
are...
to Springfield. Not even for the casino. The casino sucks, too. But anyways.
How many people with cut open faces are in Massachusetts?
I don't know.
It's actually up to 6% now. 6% of the population.
Because that sounds like a, you know what I mean? That sounds like a.
It
if
does.
Someone flashes you their headlights, don't flash back.
Yeah,
or if
they're
because
yeah,
it's a gang.
Because it might be a gang, and you would think that if that's their if the initiation is the cutting the face, you're at least gonna have a bunch of Joker murders that we would have heard about,
well,
or there's recovered people with smiley
with
faces.
Yep.
What's the that actor from Sons of Anarchy? He has a Glasgow smile.
Oh, I don't remember his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, the Scottish. He's a Scottish dude.
Yep.
Tommy Flanagan.
Yeah, interestingly
yeah,
Scottish.
He's got a Chelsea grin.
No way.
Yeah.
Wonder if he got it in Glasgow.
Or in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, he could have got it there too while on vacation. Man, imagine imagine that though. Like you have a you have this horrific scar that's named after your country of origin, and you don't even get it in your country of origin. Poor guy.
Yeah, that would suck.
No, I mean, imagine going to fucking Springfield on vacation from somewhere in Europe, and then that's what happens.
Whoever told you to go to Springfield, Mass, should get a Chelsea grin.
We were going to Salem for Halloween, and then next thing I know, we stopped for gas in Springfield, and a bunch of kids came up to me and cut my mouth open. Fuck.
Oh my god, that's brutal. That is
yeah,
a very
it's
brutal. Yeah, it's like...
Wait, Tommy Flanagan, the jazz pianist?
No.
Sons of
Anarchy.
He's
a Scottish actor.
Yeah,
he was in Sons of Anarchy and Gladiator, Braveheart. He was also.
Yep.
Oh
yeah.
I forgot he was in that.
He was in Guardians 2.
That's right. Yeah, he's one of the Reapers, right? Or is that there? No, the Reavers.
Reavers. Yeah.
Reavers. Yeah. His is very. Very prominent scar on his face.
Mm.
Although it doesn't do like the typical smile that you see like on the Joker or anything. It's more of like a cut from like, I'm looking at it now, it's from like his top of his sinus all the way down to like the corner of his jawbone.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that it is a Glasgow smile. Fuck.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's brutal, dude.
That's crazy. I got, I have a Glasgow like grin.
No. Glasgow grin, yeah. So Glasgow cool. Wink almost. Mm.
Glasgow
yeah.
smirk.
South of a wink.
Just because you got it from kissing Scottish guys doesn't make it a Glasgow.
So it would be a. I either got to name it for New Hampshire or for Ireland. I got a Dublin dinger.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm. Fuck. So I think that's it, right? Is that all our Japanese ghost stories? That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm liking this theme of like going into Japan a little bit. The last couple episodes we've done, they've been pretty interesting.
Mm.
It's, and I feel like we can connect, like all of our stories, we can somehow connect to something we've heard in popular culture at some point. You know, like it's just crazy. These things have been around for so long, and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I got an idea. I got an idea. I got an idea for next time.
Go ahead. What is it?
Do you guys want to
let our viewers know?
Yeah. Yeah, you said this to me before, and it worked out great.
Okay.
Son of a bitch. Right. I'm trying to give the people a little behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a big fucking secret. Jesus
Maybe one
Christ.
Day we'll start recording our little pre-pro meetings so that we can put them on as, like, side episodes. Because those
no one
actually
record.
Turn out to be very funny.
Yeah.
Let's record everything.
Mm.
Yeah, I think we should. But what were you going to say, Mike? Sorry, I interrupted.
You want to do kaijus, babies?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a great idea. Let's keep
I'd
the
love
Japanese
to.
Train rolling.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'm super into that. So you heard
Aren't
it here
you glad I told
from,
you instead of like
home.
Behind the scenes, you son of a bitch? You got it hot.
Yes,
it's hot.
Yes.
And I get honest reaction.
I'm into
it.
I think kaijus are really fucking cool. Mm. So I'd love to go deep. Now, do we need to limit it just to Japanese kaiju? Because there are. Mm.
Yeah,
well,
do you
want to
do
American
stories
kaiju.
Of giant monsters in general?
Yeah, but let's use kaiju because it's such a great word. I
love
well,
also
word.
Great jumping off point, too, because that's probably what people are most familiar with.
Absolutely. Yep. Especially with Pacific Rim coming out and still kind of making kaiju like a word in the zeitgeist again.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't. There are other places that have giant, like Godzilla sized monsters besides Japan?
Well, it's kind of
like
kaiju has become the term for giant monsters at this point.
I don't know that I can think of any others. So awesome.
Yeah, I can't think of any at the top of my head either, but
I'm ready
to
learn.
Cthulhu could be considered a kaiju.
Mm.
He's a giant monster.
Alright. When you start looking into
you guys want to next week?
Yeah.
Did you just summon Shoggoth with
I mean, we can if you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm into it. Right. I think that's a great idea for next show, yeah. next episode.
Mitch is never
That was fun.
He's terrified.
What? What?
I like the idea of you being terrified by me doing that and never wanting to do it. You're like, guys, I can't make it next week.
Yeah.
Mike has been speaking in tongue. I think he's crazy. But yeah, that's a great idea. And Japanese Ghost was very fun. Mm. I hope you guys had fun. I hope people had fun listening, too. If there's I feel like we could actually, there could be like another Japanese Ghost episode we could do in the future, and if anyone's listening to this right now, if you have any stories that we didn't even poke at,
what's your favorite Japanese ghost story?
Yeah, we'd love to hear it. We'd love to dive deeper in, because I mean, we're only scratching the surface here. I mean, we're talking about thousands of years of culture on that tiny island, and this, you know, we can't possibly cover it all in one episode. If anyone's listening and has any ideas, please email us. What's the email, Mike?
BeastieBoysParanormal@gmail.com.
Yeah, fire us an right? email.
B-E-A-S-T-Y.
Because
we like it.
Right.
Cool. Well, that was fun, boys. Any last efforts out there? Anyone to throw out there? You guys got any...
I can't wait to talk about the Steven Spielberg-backed film When a Monster Calls, starring Liam Neeson, the next episode. So,
is that new?
Dirtier 40 meters.
I have questions.
Okay, questions for after the pod. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Decaf left, regular right. Decaf left, regular right. It's very challenging work.